And Paul named them. Paul said in Romans 9, that scripture referred to the Gentiles. So he interprets, Paul interprets for us so that today we don't have a problem in applying that scripture to the Gentiles. To realize that there is an eschatological fulfillment. And that's important. Because then the book of Hosea becomes an end time book. It is not just one of the minor prophets where we read, oh, he's a historical prophecy. It therefore now becomes an end time book. And you'll be surprised. Every one of the minor prophets is an end time book. It contains prophecy about our days. What will take place in our time. As Romans 9 declares that the Jews were when the Jews were rejected, the Gentiles were accepted. Then there are other scriptures that when we study, it becomes of interest. We will look at them more. But let's look here in chapter 2 of Hosea, verse 14. Therefore, it says, therefore, behold, I will allure her, will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. Do you know that that verse get two fulfillment? One with the actual Israel in the time of their restoration, during the time of Nehemiah and Ezra. The other will be the eschatological fulfillment in the tribulation period. So what you have is the first period of the destruction of Jerusalem. From the time Jerusalem was destroyed, that starts the rejection of the Israelites, and it continues on right up to the time of the restoration of the temple, the return as prophesied by after 70 years by Jeremiah, they return, and under Nehemiah and Ezra. So the return was there. Let's put the return somewhere here at the pulpit here. And then after the return, as Daniel mentioned, that actually it's not only here, there is an actual return after 70 years. Jeremiah's prophecies and these were actually fulfilled. But Daniel said that fulfillment also has another fulfillment up to Jesus Christ coming. That is 62 weeks plus 7 weeks, which is 69 weeks. So points right all the way, let's say, up to this point where Jesus Christ comes. And then after Jesus Christ comes, Jesus fulfilled that part of the covenant he had with the Jews. That is why he's always continually said that I'm sent not but for to the house of Israel. Say, don't go to the way of Gentiles. And he did not permit the Israelites to go to the Gentiles until after he has fulfilled the covenant to the Jews. Then he said, go to all nations. The moment Jesus changed from Matthew 10 and Luke 9, where he says, don't go to the Gentiles, go to the house of Israel. Then in Matthew 28 and Mark 16, he says, go to every creature, go to every nation. He begins to go to the Gentile. It became a Gentile period. It moved into the rejection of Israel because they rejected his first coming. And it became the acceptance of the Gentiles. And this period that we call the rejection of Israel and the acceptance of Gentile, this period we call the church age. And the church age is also called the Gentile age. And the Gentile age will take place until the coming of Jesus Christ in his second coming. And amazingly, Hosea prophesied right up to that time. He prophesied that there will come a time, eschatologically, when the Israelites will be accepted back. And of all places, he said, he will work with them after the Gentile period is over. He will work with them after the Gentile period is over. The last 7 years that Jesus comes, takes away the church, there is the tribulation period, the 7 years, the last week of Daniel, the 7 years, God will work with the Jews. But 3.5 of those years, 1,260 days, will be in the wilderness. Remember the woman who ran into the wilderness? That woman represents the nation of Israel in the tribulation. And that is spoken way back by Hosea, who says in verse 14, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. This is a powerful end time book we're talking about. It speaks about the Gentile period and the Jewish period. Look at chapter 3. It speaks about their dispersion. In verse 4. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days. Look, chapter 4 is Gentile period. Chapter 5 is the tribulation period of the Jews again. It's amazing. This prophetic book, it keeps talking about those periods. Remember the key eschatologically in this book. He always talks about the Gentile period, the Jewish period. The Gentile period, the last Jewish period. The Gentile period, the last Jewish period. When he talks about the dispersion, is the Gentile period and all the things that are happening. Then he talks about the Jewish period, the restoration. It happens all throughout this book. This is an end time book that points to our days. And if you want to find out some things that are going to happen in our days, this book has a lot of keys. That's where we go to chapter 4 and find some of those things. 4 to 7, the second section. As you read chapter 4 to chapter 7, you will notice that he mentioned Israel and he mentioned Ephraim. Now, there are many times, just like in the Bible, there's a dual mention. Zion sometimes referred to the church, sometimes referred to Israel proper. But in the Bible, you will notice that sometimes God used a special pet name for Israel. He calls it Ephraim. Why Ephraim? Who is Ephraim? Ephraim and Manasseh were sons of Joseph, that Joseph begot when he was in Egypt. And remember, if you remember Genesis, Ephraim and Manasseh has a type, prophetic type, that also represent the church. It's quite common knowledge to Christians that when they talk about Zion, it does sometimes refer to the church. Remember this. When the Bible speaks about Ephraim and Manasseh, they are also types of the church. Sometimes they refer directly to Israel, but many times they refer to the type of the church. In case you forgot the story, the book of Genesis, there was a special blessing that takes place that directly points Ephraim and Manasseh to the church age. The book of Genesis, chapter 48, verse 8. Now Israel saw Joseph's son and said, "Who are these?" Chapter 48, verse 9, Genesis. And Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons, whom God has given me in this place." Verse 10, the eyes of Israel were dim. And verse 11, Israel said, "I had not thought to see your face, but in fact God has also shown me your offspring." Verse 13, Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand, and toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, because Manasseh was the firstborn. Then Israel stretched out his hand and laid it on his right hand, laid on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guarding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. As he was lying on the bed, Joseph put Manasseh here and Ephraim here on the left side. But Israel or Jacob put his hands this way and this way, and they form a cross. It points, besides Manasseh and Ephraim being mixed breed, because Joseph's wife was an Egyptian princess, Egyptian priest's daughter. It points to the church. So with that beginning of Ephraim and Manasseh, you bring it to the time of Hosea, you will find the keys to unlock this book in eschatological interpretation is to see that where Ephraim is mentioned, it has a dual prophecy that points also to the church. Now let's look at Hosea. Hosea, in chapter 4 to chapter 7. Notice in verse 16 and 17, Israel is stubborn like a stubborn calf. Now the Lord will let them forage like a lamb in open country. Then he says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. It looks like the church has not been redeemed yet. For we were all without God. Then as you read on about Ephraim, you will find a story of the church. Verse 3, chapter 5. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. Why he suddenly mentioned Israel again? Can you see the dual prophecy? When you begin to understand that when Ephraim is mentioned, refer to the church, and Israel can refer back to the nation of Israel, you begin to see how the two prophecies are being brought forth together. For now, O Ephraim, you commit harlotry. Israel is defiled. Israel is defiled. Ephraim is still not in God yet. There's no manifestation of God. Now, verse 11. Let's look at verse 9 first. Says, Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel, I make known what is sure. Now, not forgetting verse 5, the pride of Israel testified to his face, therefore Israel and Ephraim stumbled in their iniquity. So there was, where when Israel fell, Ephraim still hasn't come to God yet. The Gentiles, that is. And it says, do you notice that during a time of Ephraim being desolate, there's a dual prophecy. There's an actual Ephraim that takes place, but there's a prophetic Ephraim. It's a dual prophecy. He's talking about war, of course, in the actual fulfillment. Verse 11. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked by human precepts. Therefore, I will be to Ephraim like a moth, and to the house of Judah like rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Jareb. Yet he cannot cure you nor heal you of your wound. And that's the story of the Gentile. Desolate, destroyed, sick. We need redemption from sickness. We need deliverance in verse 11 because of oppression. And all this, it talks. If you study Ephraim, you can find that everything that Jesus has done, sickness, bore our sickness, bore our sin, taken the curse of the law, that he frees us from all this oppression, all those things are fulfilled. It talks first about the Gentile condition in Ephraim, then the Gentile redemption in Ephraim. In verse 14, that's when the cross starts coming in. I will be like a lion to Ephraim, and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear them and go away. I will take them away, and no one shall rescue. I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. When we acknowledge that we have sinned and fell short of the glory of God, that's the beginning of our walk with God. It's the story of the church. Then they will seek my face in their affliction, they will diligently seek me. Chapter 6, verse 1 continues. Come, let us return to the Lord. For He has torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken,